Good morning. Welcome to the Madison Baptist Church of New Jersey on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. We are here today to celebrate the risen Jesus Christ. We are here today to not only celebrate his life, celebrate what he did, but celebrate the fact that he has given us everything that we need pertaining to life to be pleasing to God and to be what we should be in this world today. He gives it all to us, and it's all because of the resurrection of Christ. It's all because he rose from the dead. Anyone can die for a good cause. Only one ever was raised from the dead and rose from the dead, and that's Jesus Christ. And we believe that. We as God's children, we believe that because the Bible tells us that. We believe that the Bible is true. There is no error in it. It is perfect. It was God's revelation of himself to man through the writers who wrote it, and they wrote it perfectly because it was God breathed into them by the Holy Spirit. So as we read God's word, our question becomes this on Resurrection Sunday is, why do I believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Why do I believe it? Well, let me say this to you this morning first and foremost. Okay, we believe the Bible. We live our life by the Bible, and the Bible is going to tell us why we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Here's the first reason why this morning. And the reason why is this, very simple. Because there were reliable eyewitnesses of his resurrection. You know, when you go into a court of law, the main thing prosecution needs is what? They need evidence. They want to build a case. What's the best evidence they could possibly have is an eyewitness that saw this person commit or do whatever they're being accused of. An eyewitness could come in and say, yes, I was there. I saw it. It was him, Your Honor. It was her, Your Honor. It was that person, Your Honor. That's an eyewitness. We have eyewitnesses all through Scripture. Remember, what we said is we believe the Bible. We live our life by the Bible. And so what Paul is saying here right now is he's giving us the facts of the resurrection. These are the irrefutable facts that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. First of all, we know Jesus Christ was crucified and was buried because that's what the Bible tells us. We know that his tomb was discovered empty on that day when they took him off the cross and they put him in the tomb. Well, when they went to find him, he was gone. We also know that the apostles, the disciples, had real physical experiences with Jesus Christ. And we also know, we know the power of the resurrection because that's the only thing that can change lives and transform lives. So what Paul says here in the first verse of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is this. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. What he's saying is, I'm making known to you this gospel that I'm preaching, and you're standing in it. That means you're believing in it. You're resolute in it. You are faith and trust into it. I preached to you that, he said. And then he also goes on to say in verse 2, by which you are saved. If you hold fast the word, which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So really, you either believe or you don't believe. You can't half believe. You can't believe some of the time. You can't believe only when things are going good in life. You either believe or you don't believe. And you hold fast to what you believe in. You don't stop believing because things are tough in life. You don't stop believing because you didn't get your way. You don't stop believing because you lost your job. You don't stop believing because you got divorced. You don't stop believing because you lost a child or you have a wayward children. You don't stop believing. You continue to believe. And this is what Paul is saying. I've made known to you the gospel which I preached, which also you received and you which you stand, by which you also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So how is it that you can say you're saved if you don't show you're saved because you're not continuing your faith? Well, I used to have faith, but I gave up on it. I don't believe anymore. Well, did you ever really believe in the first place? Well, I used to love my wife, but I don't love her anymore. Well, how much did you really love her if you used to love her? How much did you really love her if you used to? You either do or you don't. You either have faith and that faith continues to grow, or you have no faith because it never has grown. That which means, did you ever really have faith to begin with? You either have it or you don't. That doesn't mean your faith won't waver, you won't vacillate. That doesn't mean you won't get knocked down. That doesn't mean you won't feel bad. That doesn't mean you won't have little periods of life where you go off. But if you have faith, at the end of the day, you'll stand in your faith. You'll realize who you are, what you have in Jesus Christ. And that's really what Paul is saying. And now we're talking about why I believe in the resurrection. Well, if you don't believe in the Bible, how could you? You couldn't. You wouldn't. But if you do believe in the Bible, then this is how you could. He says in verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Okay, he died for our sins, Paul is saying. That means he died for those sins back then. Paul's saying he died for our sins. Paul and his contemporaries. He also died for your sins, for my sins, and our contemporaries, according to the Scriptures. Verse 4 says that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. What? According to the Scriptures. That's what God's Word says. That's why we believe it, because God's Word says it, because there's reliable witnesses that testified of it. Here they are. Here they are. "And he appeared to Cephas." That's Peter. That was Peter's name. "Then to the 12." So that's Peter he appeared to. "Then he appeared to 12 more," the Bible says. "After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time," in verse 6, "most of them who remain until now." That means they're alive, but some have fallen asleep, some have died in the physical sense. So he appeared, the Bible says, to Peter. He appeared to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 people. There, verse 7 goes on to say, "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." So now you're in court. And you're proving, you want to prove the resurrection. Here's your eyewitnesses. Here's your eyewitnesses. You've got Cephas. You've got 12. You've got 500. Then you've got James. Then you have all the other apostles. And then last of all, in verse 8, "as it were to one untimely born," this is Paul, "he appeared to me also." There's our witnesses. There's our witnesses. And Paul goes on to say, as only Paul would, and every time he spoke, never spoke highly of himself, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So Paul, just like me, and just like many, prior to coming to know Christ, persecuted the church of God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. And when he rose from the dead, broke the chain and gave us freedom. The freedom to choose. The freedom to make a choice. The freedom to choose life eternal, because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believed, you have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. We celebrate his resurrection because he gave us a choice. So that's the first reason why. If you back up or move forward, If you move forward to 2 Corinthians, just move forward over to 2 Corinthians and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, if you're an eyewitness and you saw Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, you had interactions with him, you would be convinced of that. You're convinced of it. Now, someone who's not convinced of it, if you're not convinced of something in your life, what would you go through? How far would you go if you weren't convinced of something? How far would you go? If you weren't convinced that you're the person that you're attracted to, if you weren't convinced that they loved you, and you weren't convinced that they wanted to spend the rest of their life with you, and you weren't convinced that they were sold out for you, would you commit to them? Would you commit to them? How far would you go? If you went for a job interview, and during that job interview, you felt like there wasn't a connection, you felt like these people really, maybe they just can't hire anybody else, and so they'll take anybody, so they'll take me. Is that the kind of company that you want to go work for? Would you commit to them? Would you sell out for them? What's the point? Here's the point. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and go to verse 24. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Okay. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been in frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Here's the point. The point is this. Why I believe in the resurrection is because there were reliable witnesses. Why I believe in the resurrection is because people who don't tell the truth are not going to go through that. They're not going to go through threats. They're not going to, if you don't believe in something, if you're not sold out on it, you're not going to go through everything, all that Paul went through and the rest of the apostles went through. You're not going through that. Why would I go through all of that if I wasn't sold out on what I believed in? These people were willing to die for what they believed in. They were willing to die for what they believed in. If you turn over to the book of Galatians, if you turn over to the book of Galatians, and you look at chapter 5, look at Galatians in chapter 5, and you do you want to know why we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If you look at Galatians in chapter 5 and you go through verses 22 and verse 23, that'll tell you why. The presence of the risen Christ is in people's lives. When you have the fruit of the Spirit, that's what Galatians 5, 22 and 23 describes, is the fruit of the Spirit. When you have the presence of Christ in you, what you have is you have love, joy, peace, patience. You have long-suffering. You have all of that. You may not have had it prior to knowing Christ, but when you're transformed by the presence of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, that becomes a part of who you are, which is proof of the resurrection. And then finally, what is the proof? Well, if you think about it, it is the power of the gospel, of the love of God for people. If you think about this, the Bible tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know God's word says that in Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23. Okay? And we know that sin's penalty is eternal separation from God. But God's gift to us is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that in Romans in chapter 6 and verse 23. So we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we know the wages of sin is death. That means the penalty of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection. We sing the song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I know the future. And that's why life is worth living, just because he lives. Because he lives, we live in this life. We live in a world that's not our home. We're strangers here. We're in a foreign country. This is not our home. Our home is being prepared in heaven with Jesus when he'll come again, because he already was raised. Now he sits with God, waiting to come back to take his. We know the power of the gospel because God's love was in Jesus Christ. And Christ came and shared love. Every time Christ was ridiculed, every time Christ was spoken about, every time Christ was betrayed, every time Christ was talked about, his friends left him, his friends deserted him, falsely accused, falsely convicted, horribly beaten, horribly crucified. Every time something happened to Christ in a horrific, negative way, he responded in love. He responded in love. That's the power of God's love that you have, that I have, that everyone has within them that has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the power that transforms our thinking. That's the power that transforms our actions. That's the power that makes us a different person. We don't make ourselves different. Well, many people try to make themselves different today. If you look at what's happening, you know, people are changing the way they look. They're changing this. They're changing that. They're changing what they were normally and naturally. But only God can change and transform a person and make them new. And when that happens, the Bible says how it happens is with our hearts, with our intellect, with our hearts we believe, with our mouth we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That we then have a transformed life because we believe what the Bible says, because we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Problem we have today is people believe only what they choose to believe. And if what they choose to believe doesn't match up with how they want to live, then they don't believe it. So they make their own truth. People make their own truth. Well, one thing you can't make any better, any more perfect than it already is the truth in the Word of God. There is only one truth. There is only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And the reason why we're here today, and we could say that, and we could say it with excitement, and we could say it resolute, and we could say it standing fast, is because God's Word is perfect, God's Word is true, and God's Word has just provided us this morning with hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses that saw Jesus raised from the dead. We don't believe, we don't put our faith and trust because we're convinced and there's overwhelming evidence. We believe and put our faith and trust. Yes, the overwhelming evidence is overwhelming. But it's the intellectual transformation that speaks to our heart first. It's the true understanding of you and I and everyone who's ever lived. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and the wages of sin was death. And that death didn't mean that I just stopped living. That death meant that I am eternally separated from God. That's what that death meant. But God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us in spite of the fact that we wanted nothing to do with him. And people don't want to hear that today, because people today want to believe somehow, some way, they're intelligent enough or they're good enough to do it on their own. Anything that we could possibly do, the best we could possibly be ever, would fall short, way short of the transforming power that we now possess because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And that's why we praise Him, and that's why we sing, and as the song goes, and that's why we give Him our everything. Now, on this Resurrection Sunday, if we're all being honest, we know we all don't give Him our everything. We know we all give Him what we want to give Him, when we want to give Him, and how much of it we want to give to Him. And maybe this should be the Resurrection Sunday when we do decide, as His people, and I mean His people, those people that realize there's a God, only one God, realize that Jesus is the only way, have confessed their sins, repented of their sins, turned from their sin, turned to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe when we, you, I, all of us who claim to be God's people, we yearn for a deeper and more intimate relationship, maybe the transforming power that we do possess will come out of us, and we will be able to help others come to know Christ and come to have peace in their life. That's the goal of everybody who's ever given their life to Christ as Lord and Savior. The goal isn't to be a church member for 35 years and do nothing for nobody. The goal isn't to write a check or to give an endowment. The goal is for your life to speak into somebody else's life, and that person, it becomes transformed because of what Christ has done in your life, and now you're giving that out. When the Bible says go make disciples, that means all of us. That means everyone who's given their life to Christ as Lord and Savior. And we're able to do that only because of the resurrection of Christ. And so why do we believe in the resurrection of Christ this morning finally? Because there were reliable eyewitnesses. That's why. That's why. Overwhelming. Because you wouldn't go through all the adversity that all of the people went through if it wasn't real. And the presence of Christ within the lives of people who've given their life to Christ. And finally, the power of God's love in transforming each and every one that's ever given their life to Christ, that's ever asked, that's ever cried out, that's ever genuinely, wholeheartedly, earnestly asked Christ to be their Lord and Savior. The power of God's love transforms life. On this Resurrection Sunday, that's our desire. That's our desire for you. You that are here this morning, anyone who's watching, that's our desire. God knows the heart. He looks down on our heart, and He's calling out to you today. Answer. Answer today, and have the peace and love that only God can give on this Resurrection Sunday. God bless you, and have a wonderful day. Amen.